Hallelujah. Any ministry gift carries ranks within that office. Notice what it says in, well, let's just read the whole thing in chapter 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Now, you got to realize here he's talking about ministry, because over in Romans 11, 29, it says, for the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. Other, once God calls you, once he gives you that gift, he can't take it back. So then he goes in here and he tells you how to maintain that anointing or that gift. Number one, you're going to have to give your body up as a living sacrifice. This is my 21st year of ministry. You say, well, where'd you start? When I first got saved, I told you I started in the toilet ministry. But that was a ministry. You might laugh about that, but that wasn't lost time. That was preparation time. People say, oh, that was lost time. No, it wasn't. I learned a lot cleaning toilets. You'd be surprised how much I learned cleaning toilets and dealing with people. Yeah, one of these days, maybe the Lord will allow me to teach you what he's taught me. Huh? But it is not lost time. But you're going to have to do something with their body. I said, you're going to have to put, in 16 years, I've lived in hotel rooms. Roy, you know what is that like, traveling. There's nothing. You get away and all of a sudden, sometimes you can wake up, had a heavy night, man, heavy anointing, man, people being healed all over. And man, I'm in crowds and everything else. And then you go back to your room on a high and then you go to sleep and you wake up the next morning. And man, you don't even feel like you're saved.
That's right.
Have you ever done that? I mean, you feel like, man, you got to get up and just look at yourself in the mirror and say, hey, you're the righteousness of God. And your body speaks out, you sure don't look it. You got to do that. That's when you walk by faith. You don't walk about the anointing that's on. You got to walk by faith. Then that's when you have to give up your body as a living sacrifice. When I say, what am I doing living in a hotel room? They all look alike. They all smell alike. Some of them are just nicer than others, but they're all the same. And you get so tired of those four walls. Just praying during the day, back and forth, looking at those walls, the same walls. And I said, what am I doing? I could be home with my son and my wife. And the Lord would come up in my spirit and say, dead men don't gripe.
That's right.
What happens to a living sacrifice? It dies. I want to tell you, if you're going to make it in the ministry, you say, well, so-and-so stepped on my toes. So-and-so said this, and they're talking about me. You'll never make it in the ministry if you got your toes out there, because the devil makes sure you get them stepped on. You're going to have to give your body up as a living sacrifice. Dead men never fight back. Have you ever been in a mortuary and see a dead man jump out of a coffin and say, you owe me $150. What are you? They never get even. Dead men don't give it. You never give it in the ministry. You got to give your body, and that's to say, in the prophet's ministry, believe me. Because even today, they throw stones at prophets. I know. I got kicked out many times. This year, I've been kicked out of 2 word churches. 2. Because the pastor's wife thought she was a prophet. Told her to sit down. They had all my stuff over there that night. Man, my hotel room. Glory! Some of them, yeah, we went to prophet's ministry until you start... moving right along. I'm going to get in trouble here. Glory! Hallelujah! Can you say amen? So the one thing you got to do is give up your body as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. You see, 2 things you got to do. You got to give your body up as a living sacrifice for what you're called to do. Whatever it takes, the sacrifice it takes to walk in that calling. See, people don't want to pay that sacrifice. They don't want to pay that. They don't want to pay that preparation time. They want to jump in it right now. Whew, here I am. They don't want to pay that price. They don't want to carry another man's coat. Maybe, yeah, I'll do it for 1 year, 2 years, but not for 10 years. I'm not. See, you don't want to give up your body as a living sacrifice. You want to do what you want to do instead of what God's telling you to do. And then you're going to have to renew your mind with the Word of God concerning your calling. Then notice what it says, what will happen when you do these 2 things. And be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that is which is good I don't want to do just good things. And the acceptable, I don't want to do just the acceptable will of God. I want to do the perfect will of God. See, that's how you're going to do the perfect will of God. In your calling. I'm talking about the ones that are called. Not all of you are called in the fivefold ministry, and I understand that. But these things need to, if you're going to talk about the prophet's ministry, you've got to talk about these practical things. Now, we'll get into other things about the prophets of Seir. We talked about that on another night, and you get the tapes on that. But these are practical. Everybody say practical. This ain't real spiritual stuff that you're talking about, but this will produce the spiritual stuff. Giving up your body is a living sacrifice, and I have to say, no! You're a dead man! Thank you, Lord. Praise God for the opportunity to come to this church and minister. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. See, I have to, because if you don't, you get depressed, all that stuff. Then you have to run, you run the devil off. No, praise God, I'm a dead man. Huh? I said, Lord, I'm getting tired. He said, dead men don't get tired. I said, tell that to my body. And I get up and say, bless God, this body's up a living sacrifice. And sometimes I don't even feel like getting out of bed. Like I told you, come out of a meeting, powerful man, I'm telling you. Miracles, everything. And wake up in the morning, I feel like a dead man. Every joint's hurting. And I jump out of that bed and look in the mirror and grab myself. I say, you've been made the righteousness of God in the name of dead men don't gripe. Dead men don't hurt. Dead men don't get tired. Draw on the strength of the Lord. Now listen, there's so much here. You're getting something out of this. Amen. God's speaking to some of you. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that which is good and acceptable. See, a lot of people just do good things in their calling, and they never get to the perfect will of God in their calling. They don't even make, like Brother Hagin said, Jesus appeared to him years ago and said, most of my ministers don't even get to the first phase of their ministry. Can you imagine? Don't even get to the first phase. So that means, Pastor Lou, there's different phases that you go. Different phases. I want to do the perfect will of God, to do every phase that God has for me for my ministry. You see, a lot of people say, oh, Lord, I want to do miracles. Well, why do you want to do it? For people to look at you and say, isn't he a hero? Or what? You're going to have to pay a price. I said, you're going to have to pay a price. Glory to God. And the will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think himself more highly than he ought to think. Now, why would he put that in there? But to think soberly, in other words, be in the right mind concerning the measure of grace that he has given you, according as God had dealt to every man the measure of faith. Now, don't misunderstand me, because people think, well, you're preaching heresy. We've heard that everybody has the measure of faith, and there's truth to that. But here he's talking about the measure of faith for ministry. See, a lot of times we can take scriptures out of context, but he's talking about the measure of faith for ministry. Are you listening to it? I often wonder, I said, you know, Jimmy Swagger gets on TV and puts all us faith people down and everything else, and yet he's got the biggest ministry. I said, Lord, how's he get away? He said, I gave him a measure of faith for as an evangelist to get his job done. Now, he has to develop his personal faith. We all have the same faith that was given to us. But here, he's talking about a measure. That's why it takes more faith in different ministries, whatever their calling is. Because our callings differ. Are you listening to me? I mean, to every man that is among you, not to think himself more highly. For I say, through the grace given unto me. Well, we'll get down and you'll find out that according to the grace, there in the same chapter, what he's talking about, maybe you have more grace. I'm talking about fivefold ministry now. I'm not talking about the grace that you saved. I'm talking about the gift ministry. According to the grace that was given unto me. That's why you, now why would he put that in there? Why not to think more highly than he ought to think? Because you got more grace than another ministry to get a job done. You're not to think yourself more highly than what you ought to think. There's other ministries that are bigger. Everybody says, well, I want a big ministry. You better have the measure of faith to believe in the finances. You want to know why a lot of us ministers get in trouble financially? Because we get out in the area and we do something because we want to do it. And God never gave us the measure of faith or the grace to do that certain kind of a work. I know, and I've told you before about my school out in Los Angeles. Not the Bible school, but school from kindergarten to high school. When God started teaching me this, I said, Lord, I've had nothing but problems. Every time I come off the road, every time I go in the office, there's mothers and dads there ready to kill me. They're mad because something happened in school or the teacher spanked their child. I mean, just problem after problem after problem. I mean, they used to wait for me when I'd come out of my office in herds. And finally, I went into the sanctuary. I said, God, you're going to have to do something. I'm doing what you told me. He said, I never told you to do that. You went to a seminar. Today they call them church girl seminars. And you went over there and they said that everybody should have a school. He said, I never give you the grace or the measure of faith. And that's why I had so many problems. That's why it was costing so much money. And the next day I went and cut the thing off, and then there was big herds out at my back door. Now they're mad because I was shutting it down. Are you listening to me? So that's what he's talking about right here. According to the measure of faith. You can't go beyond the grace and the measure of faith for your ministry that God has given you. If he tells you to give you a TV ministry, then you need to get in your prayer room and he'll give you that measure of faith to be able to step out and do that. Now notice he confirms this in the word, the fourth verse. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. See, same office. Everybody same office. Amen. Now notice the sixth verse. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given unto us. See, what people are trying to do today is what they did in David's time. We was down there at that brook here the other day in Israel where he got those stones. And David, they came down there and Saul tried to put his armor, his grace, his measure of faith on him. And he said, no, it ain't working. He took it off and he took those stones. That was his grace, his measure of faith. Are you listening to it? Quit trying to walk at Brother Hagin's anointing, at Brother Copeland's anointing, or anybody else's anointing. Walk in the grace that God has given you. Glory be to God. That's good stuff. That's why gifts differing. That's why we're not to get set in a rut. Well, I never seen it that way. I never seen a man of God come in here and say, well, I really haven't got anything. If, you know, we'll just sit down here and whatever. And Brother Hagin sits down and just lets the Holy Ghost. People say, boy, I never seen anything like that. Are you being helped or did you go home? See, we're starting to learn some things. We're learning some things here. See, he's talking about ministry there. According, the gifts are different. According to the grace that has been given unto us. Glory be to God. And you know, we've been guilty of it in the word of faith. We all say, well, bless God, Copeland's got an airplane, I'll get one. Or I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. You try to set a mold, trying to do what they do. You better get before God. That's why people, you love me, don't you? That's why a lot of people go over to Korea. You know, you can go over there and get inspired and everything. But you better have the measure of grace and the measure of faith to what Dr. Cho has, which his mother-in-law prayed down on him. Are you listening to me? Huh? You're going to have to get it. And that's what we're working to get here for the measure of faith and grace, what God wants us to do. Are you listening to me? Now that I brought that out in the Word, then you can understand. Any ministry gift carries ranks with that office, having gifts different according to the grace. There's different ranks, different anointings. And it says, let us prophesy according to the portion of faith. Are you listening to me? No matter what your rank is, you're only rewarded according to the faithfulness. Boy, isn't that good? Hallelujah. God never gives a minister a bigger word than his gift of faith. This faith has nothing to do with personal faith, but rather is determined by the grace faith given to you for that word, what God has called you, through the grace given unto me. You understand that? Through the grace given unto me. Paul, he can only go as far. He can only go far. That's where a lot of us get in trouble. We go further than what God has given us to do. And then we add things onto our ministry and we say, God told us to do it. And that's where we get in trouble. What are you talking about? I'm talking about the prophet's ministry. And also the other ministry, pastor's ministry. This is good. This is practical stuff. The greater your rank within your office, the more people you will affect. You know, people go over and look at Rod Parsley. He's a good friend of mine. I went to Israel with him and Dr. Summerall and different things. And I see his church. He took me right before we left to go to Israel. I preached at his church Sunday night. He took me over to his new building. I said, "My boy, that thing is huge. It's going to sit 5,200 people in it. And he's going to fill it before it's even done." And yet people go look at that and say, "I'm going to go do that." No, God has given that young man, he's only 30 years old, had given him the grace and the measure of faith to get that job done. Huh? I heard a guy, and I'm sorry to say, I heard a guy say at an ICFCN meeting one time, and he got up and people respect him real highly and everything. Got one of the biggest churches out in West Coast. And he got up there and said, "God does not bless storefront churches." And I saw 75% of those pastors drop their heads. Now, they were supposed to come there to get help, not be destroyed. And he should have never said that, because according to the measure of faith and grace that God has called him to do, God's given him a special message to his race and to his people and everything else. But yet you're not to judge what God has given you to other people, because they got something smaller. It says don't think highly than you ought to think. And pride is, that'll destroy you.
Right.
Quit whispering to one another and trying to figure out who it is. I heard you. I know who it is. I'm not saying that to be as a put that. I'm saying it as observing and learning. Because I want to help preachers. I want to help people in the ministry. And this has set more, what I've been teaching out at Romans 12 has set more preachers free across this country. You know, they're all thinking, "Well, I'm not having success." I said, "Well, then you're judging the way the world judges success." Huh? People say, "Well, you ain't having success. You build a building here and it has 800 chairs. It ain't all filled up." I said, "Buddy, I just obeying God. I just did what God said." He said, 800 chairs in this building, put them in here." "Well, what do you think is going to happen?" "I don't know. I just go day by day." He might say, "Just start a church and give it to somebody." Might give it to Roy or somebody like that. You don't know. I'm just here. I'm just working for God. Or give it to Pastor Lou. He don't want it. He just left the church in Santa Monica. He's on the road. You understand what I'm trying to say? Praise the Lord. You're getting something out of this.
Amen.
The greater your rank within your office, the more people you will affect. Well, that's why you see other people have bigger churches than others. They're affecting more people than that. I tell young men, and Rod Parsley was right there. I said, "Now, to use Rod as an illustration, I said, now, don't a lot of you feel, and these pastors told me later, they did, said, we felt, man, we was doing nothing for God. I said, well, get in your prayer time for that grace and that measure of faith. If God only give you a grace and measure of faith for 50 people, when you get to heaven and the guy with the big church or Dr. Cho, you'll be right down there." And he say, "Bless you, you faithful man. You've been obedient and faithful." See, we get in the flesh. And we look at things at success the way the world does. If I obey what God told me to do, and I was able to help a lot of these ministers, and they go out and do what God told them to do, and it affects thousands, huh? We must walk in what God called us to do. The greater your rank within your office, the more people you will affect. And when high-ranking ministers are wiped out, all those under him are automatically affected. Now, this is something that we ought to repent as a church. Ministry ranking is parallel to military ranking. Huh? The way we crucified our preachers because they fell or made a mistake or they got hoodwinked or something like that. And what do? We want to shoot them and everything. "Oh, dirty rat taking all that money," rah, 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 and everybody. And then we listen to the world and what they have to say about it. You don't know a man's heart. No, yeah, what right do you have to judge a man? We don't, and you know what it's done because of the Christians in the body of Christ, what we did to Jim Baker, and they crucified him and everything. It's hurt every ministry. When it could have been covered up, we could have got him back out there right away without turning it over to the newsreel. And everybody's been hurt financially. Every ministry had. Most of every ministry. Are you listening to me? It's because we judge when we shouldn't have judged and we should have covered up and helped. You got to realize that. Oh, we got to realize that. That's why we prayed to keep Brother Hagin, for he wouldn't go home and be with the Lord. We prayed and seek God personally, just me and my wife. We knew what was going on. No, we need him here. Because it had hurt so many ministries. We must get that into our heads. We shouldn't rejoice when one falls and gets hurt, because it'll affect us one way or the other. Can you say amen? Amen. Glory! Satan's ranking is parallel to God's ranking. So when God's general knocks out Satan's general, it automatically affects the devils in lower ranks. God's generals deal with Satan's generals. See, this is where it's very important with a prophet's ministry. Come into a city and he goes into the spirit and he speaks to that spirit. See, that's why we need the prophet's ministry. Not just regular intercession can handle things, my brother and sister. I'm telling you, that's why God's given the prophet the measure of faith and grace and anointing. Every prophet I know has a heavy anointing, and that was given to him for a reason. You see, he can go into a city and go into the spirit. That's why we had to pray the prophet's ministry function. He'd go in the spirit and take care of that spirit right over the city when everybody else has been praying for years trying to get that spirit out. You see, you got all the little guys trying to knock out a big guy. Well, get a big guy to knock out the big guy. And it's the same thing in the spirit realm when you're dealing. Are you getting something out of this? Glory to God. Well, praise the Lord. Lieutenants versus lieutenants, corporals, corporals, and captains of captains. As someone ministering in the gifts would feel obligated to perform. If the spirit doesn't manifest it, don't you try to. If you try to force something to happen, then you'll open yourself up to a familiar spirit because you'll be off the word. A lot of people try to make something happen. And if the spirit ain't there to push it through, you open yourself up because you don't have the grace and the measure of faith to operate, and you open yourself up to that. Glory to God. And God gave all ministry gifts to perfect the saints. You know that in Ephesians 4:12, you can look it up and read it later. For the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Therefore, all ministering gifts must realize each other their part, or for the above to be accomplished. They must operate in unity. Hello. The prophet is to inspire the teacher. The teacher studies the prophet. The evangelist reminds us of lost souls. The pastor recognize care and need for souls after salvation. The apostles inspires and leads us to a fresh conquest for Christ and the church. Glory to God. Are you listening to me? And what are we to do? We are to unite and walk in unity. Praise the Lord. How do you know if you're called to be a prophet? How many have ever asked that? I don't know if I'm going to get into that tonight. Let's put our hands up and praise him and worship him and thank him. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for your word. Glory to God. How many of you got a nugget or two out of that tonight? Glory be to God. I'm going to stop. God just said stop. We'll pick up the next session.